Well, now you are evoking actually my previous book, which is called Hijacking America, because in that book I try to explain exactly in historical, contemporary historical terms, where did this ideology come from? Because it really has become the common sense of look at the Tea Party. These people just mouth the same things over and over again. Poor people are poor because they want to be poor. The government is too big. We don't need the government. Private is always better than public. We don't want public health care. We don't want to spend money on any of these things. If people don't pay for it themselves, they don't deserve it, etc., etc. And this is manufactured. And it is manufactured by a small elite which began in the 1950s to forge their concepts of neoliberal thought, if you want to call it thought, at a time when absolutely everyone was a Keynesian, more or less left or right, but a Keynesian, you know. I mean, he was called the Man of the Year by Time magazine in 1965. And 30 years later, Ronald Reagan and Margaret Thatcher had triumphed. So the way it was done was, yes, through media, but not only. It was done by paying people to produce and disseminate ideas, paying for think tanks, paying for conferences in colleges, for publications, going after the places and the people who organize and create and disseminate ideas. The title of a book of one of these people in 1948 was Ideas Have Consequences. And I think that that was an admirable title, which has proven absolutely true. The world runs on ideas, and I called the people who pulled this off, with the help of large private foundations belonging to extreme right-wing people, I call them the right-wing Gramscians, because they've understood Antonio Gramsci, who explained the Marxist, Italian Marxist who died in Mussolini's prison and invented the concept of cultural hegemony. And he explained that you don't get power by bludgeoning people and oppressing them. You get it by getting into their heads through what he called the long march through the institutions. And that's what this class of people, particularly in the United States, but it's got its younger brothers and sisters in Britain and elsewhere, and they're setting up a whole ring of these institutes that do nothing but disseminate these same ideas. Eastern Europe, they've been concentrating very heavily on. And so, yes, you need money, management, media. The Heritage Foundation in the U.S. brags that it gives 6-point-something interviews every working day to the national and international press. They've got 2 television studios on their premises. These people understand how if you repeat something often enough, you can make any lie seem like the truth, and then people vote on it. There's a certain amount of literature now about this. I published this in 2007, and Hijacking America, it was okay, and it went to a certain number of people in universities, but it did not become a book that was commonly discussed because everybody was in Obamania mode. Everything was going to change now, whereas I had put on the back cover, the first sentence was, George Bush leaves the White House and everything goes back to normal. Right? Wrong. Da-da-da-da. And we now see, with the rise of the Tea Party, with the way that Obama himself has given Wall Street a free pass, how he is not able, really, to cope with all of these ideas because the left or the progressives, they're not even left, don't even think about defending their ideas. I believe they seem to have this impression, well, our ideas are the best because they're more generous, they're more inclusive, whatever, and there's no reason to talk about that because it's completely obvious. Well, it's not.